Matthew is here. Purple Insider is a must. Friday mailbag. Great interviews throughout the week. Video analysis. Updates during the game. Immediate reaction after the game. Go to Purple Insider. Track it all down. Kyler, I'm listening to you even when you don't think I'm listening to you. I'm driving around last night. Tune into H Lake and you're on. And I want to pick up on the conversation about Brian Flores. I think there are people in this town who still forget we have litigation taking place with Brian Flores still going after the National Football League. This goes back to what was going on with a hiring with the New York Giants. Brian Daboll gets the job, a Belichick text that was confusing, and Flores feeling like he didn't have an opportunity for that. You also had Flores and what was going on with the Miami Dolphins and their owner and losses and tanking for Tua. And so when Flores once again is the talk of this town because of the defense of their success against the ineptitude of the Giants and then the brilliance of the 49ers, the fear is going to be, okay, is he going to leave? And you said to H. Lake last night, Brian Flores will never get another head coaching job because of this suit. Expand on that.
Well, you know, maybe never is too aggressive because it's a long time.
Never's a long time, yeah.
But, you know, I think we've seen what happened when people contest the National Football League run by Roger Goodell and his group of owners. I mean, these are very powerful people when it comes to somebody's life like Brian Flores. And to be honest with you, I was concerned when he sued the league that he was never going to get any coaching job again. And thanks to Mike Tomlin, he was able to stay in the league for a year, let everybody kind of get over it, and then the Vikings could bring him in. But if Mike Tomlin doesn't have the courage to say, come join my coaching staff, are we talking about Brian Flores right now, or is he coaching Boston College defense with Bill O'Brien or something? Mm-hmm. I mean, this league did it to Colin Kaepernick when he challenged them. There has been plenty of opportunities for teams to add Colin Kaepernick. I'm sure right now he would be about the 20th best quarterback in the NFL, and yet he can't get a job even after doing a workout last year to show everybody that he was still in shape, and his workout looked pretty good, but it was just never going to happen because if you go up against these guys, you're not going to win. And so Flores probably did sacrifice that opportunity, and then it didn't help his case when Tua came out and said that he had been mistreated, called him a terrible person. I mean, and every owner now is looking for who's going to be the quarterback whisperer, the Kevin O'Connell type, the Kyle Shanahan, the Sean McVay, the Matt LaFleur. And I don't think that what Flores brings to the table, kind of a gruff, intense, old-school mentality on the defensive side, is really attracting people to be a head coach. But, you know, that's pretty good for the Vikings. He deserves it. I mean, he's one of the best coaches in the league overall. But it's not usual that you could get a defensive coach of this caliber who can be here year after year after year. And, you know, Kevin O'Connell has talked about this throughout the offseason, that they were able to start packing more onto this defense and making it more complicated than it was even last year for offenses. And you see some of the guys who are here doing even more than they were asked to do last year. It's just been an incredible job by Brian Flores. So impressive. And when your defense plays like this, you go into a game against CJ Stroud and you go, yeah, okay. Maybe they can win because you think that the defense is going to give you a chance every week.
So let's talk about CJ Stroud. Let's talk about Flores' defense. News comes out today in the last hour. We knew Dallas Turner was out because of Dallas Turner. Thank you, Dallas. Appreciate that. Keep providing that candor. And then it sounds like Ivan Pace injured an ankle yesterday, so he's out. How much does that affect them against the Texans? And then let's get to the quarterback. Why is Stroud so good so early in his career?
Yeah, I think probably Dallas Turner may have had a short meeting with the coach dressing.
yes, that's correct. Let me tell the media about that when and if we want to.
Yeah, I know. I don't like when stuff like that happens because I don't want, you know, the player to be afraid to talk to the media in the future. But usually you're not supposed to give your own injury updates. But, you know, with Dallas Turner and Ivan Pace, Turner has been very much a role player, handful of snaps, which is what he should be at this point in his career when they have guys like Grenard and Van Ginkle who are stars. I think what makes up for it is how well Patrick Jones has played, and Jod Ward is probably the most underrated person on this defense. He's a free agent pickup that I didn't think about a whole heck of a lot. There was no emergency podcast when they signed Jod Ward, and yet he has really, really shown up. Another guy that Brian Flores has worked with, the backup linebacker is Kamu Grugier-Hill, who has been around quite a while. He won a Super Bowl with the Eagles back in 2017. He's played for a number of different teams. So they have an experienced backup there to take over for Ivan Pace. Pace is an impact player, but if you're going to lose somebody at any position, let it be one where it's a veteran who's been very solid in his career, be the one who takes over for him. Not to say it's not a problem, but it might not be the same level of problem as if they lost a cornerback, for example, where I have no trust for the depth beyond those guys. And as far as C.J. Stroud goes, he just has everything, man. I mean, I think he's one of the most high intelligence players. He kind of reminds me of like when Peyton Manning came into the league. By his second year, he's already figuring out all defenses and everything. He has a stone cold element to him. Doesn't ever really seem to be very rattled by anything, and he has arm talent. And when you can combine intelligence, the ability to diagnose stuff, confidence in an offense, receivers who are extremely, extremely good, and then the arm that he has, then you've got yourself a superstar. I think this is, of all the quarterbacks that they're going to play for the entire season, this is probably the most difficult one.
All right, he also has a receiver named Diggs. I think that may ring a bell with Vikings fans. They might remember a certain catch against the New Orleans Saints. They might remember him getting upset. They might remember his absolute brilliance and what a great draft choice he turned out to be. When you think of Diggs' run here, what pops to mind, and how has Diggs fit in so far two games into his run in Houston after leaving Buffalo?
Yeah, I mean, a few things with Stephon Diggs. I mean, one is that the draft pick turns out to be Justin Jefferson and maybe the greatest win-win trade that anyone has ever had, because the Bills won four straight division titles with him as their number one wide receiver. Of course, how it ended is always going to be a conversation. I think for me, I always looked at that as evidence for why you need a Kevin O'Connell and not a Mike Zimmer as your coach, because Mike Zimmer refused to communicate with Stephon Diggs. And Diggs, I mean, of all the players that I've been around through covering this team over the last almost decade now, I've been here a while, Diggs would go up there for most high intelligence players. So if someone like that wants to talk with you about your offensive philosophy, you should listen to them. He's out there. He's the one making the plays. And I think that we just jump so quickly with wide receivers to call them divas and everything else, and it loses all the nuance of what actually happened. Which was, Diggs was right, by the way. And not only that, but a lot of times with his sideline, his antics or whatever, and then the NFL films would release the audio, and he's asking Kirk Cousins to believe in himself. Like, okay, well, that doesn't really seem like what you guys are painting it as. He was one of the most competitive people, and sometimes, you know this, you've been around guys a long time in sports, sometimes competitiveness is not rational. It's not normal.
That's correct.
Not behaving to social norms, and I think that Diggs has had a really difficult time throughout his career of containing that, when things go wrong, I don't think he reacts always the way that you would want him to or the way that others do. But as far as the Texans offense, they have two other receivers who are deep threats, which allows him to just be that intermediate underneath get open guy. And man, if that's all Stephon Diggs has to do in your offense, you've got a really good set of wide receivers. So he is super dangerous in this game. Line him up in the slot. The route running is still masterful. He's not as fast as he used to be, but man, is he still quick in the short areas. It's going to be a huge challenge for them.
After watching the games live and then going back and watching them again and talking to a lot of smart individuals who either played in this league or have covered the league for a long time, tell me the player who has exceeded your expectations most through the first two wins.
Well, Sam Darnold, I think.
I figured he was the obvious one. I could have said outside of Sam Darnold, but I didn't want to take it away if Darnold was your pick.
Well, there are a few. I mentioned Jahad Ward. Jalen Naylor is definitely one of them, although, he had such a tremendous training camp that I thought if he does any percentage of this when they get to the actual games, then they're going to have a dangerous wide receiver. And they have that catch he made on the third down while with the back shoulder throw. That's not an easy catch. I don't even know how you really see the ball and then flip around and grab it like that. Just incredible work there. He is such a great ball tracker, and he's got great speed. And to lose Addison and not fall off in your passing game is a really big deal, because I think we all thought, man, you know, Addison goes down, how are you going to replace him? So it probably is Jalen Naylor. But just about Sam Darnold, what has really, really impressed me is that there is a rhythm to the game that you the best quarterbacks play in. Even when it's Mahomes who's a scrambler, Allen, where it's the easy stuff is there, you drop back, you hit the back foot, the ball comes out. He has not fiddled around in the pocket. He hasn't held on to the ball too long. He hasn't looked jittery or uncomfortable. There's been a few, you know, weird plays like the accidental double motion fumble thing. But as far as the play-to-play basis, there's just a lot of stuff that's been on time and in rhythm with him that has not really been the case in his career. It's been when he was with Carolina early in his career, the Jets, it was bounce around in the pocket, bounce around too much, try to scramble, try to throw sidearm, try to whip it down the field too hard. And what Kevin O'Connell, I think, is really, really focused on is you don't have to do everything for this. I will do this for you. I will get your receivers open. They will catch the ball for you if you just stick to the script and then do something spectacular a couple times a game, like cruise the ball 50 yards in the air with no effort like he did on that 97-yard touchdown. Then it can work. And I think through at least 2 weeks, there's been a lot of signs of things that I think are sustainable that Sam Darnold can keep doing.
Great stuff as always, sir. Thank you so much. We'll talk next week.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
Matthew Coller, Purple Insider. It is a must if you care about this team, like about 5 million people do in this state. Jason's next.